Okay, good evening. We're discussing the halachas of muktzah. So last night we discussed certain ways of in which it's permissible to remove muktzah from a place that you don't want it, even muktzah machmas gufo. So we said that muktzah machmas gufo is allowed to be moved kila achar yad, or the other expression is min hatzad, which means in an indirect fashion, you're not directly moving the muktzah. You're moving something else, and the muktzah comes along with it. Or according to the more lenient approach, which the Mishnah Berurah concurs with, even if you take a knife or say, a napkin, let's say it is, and you don't touch the muktzah, like use the napkin as an item. You're holding the napkin in one end and use the other end. You make it sort of stiff in your hand and use the other end to push the muktzah off the table. You're allowed to do that as long as it's letzorech davar hamutter. If it's to save the muksa, if the muksa is money, for example, and you want to, you don't want the money to disappear, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to move money, even kalachayad, even in an indirect fashion, if you're doing it for the sake of the money, for the sake of the muksa. But if you're doing it for the sake of the place that you need to use, then you're allowed to. Okay. So I also mentioned, though, that when dealing with things like pistachio shells or the like, there's another possible heter called graf shel rei. So let's discuss that. A big graf shel rei literally means a basin or bucket which is used for human waste or maybe animal waste, but it's talking about something that's extremely repulsive. And the halach is if something like that, although it's muksa, inherently it's muksa, but if it's located somewhere that people frequent on Shabbos, people stay by or pass by, and they'll find it repulsive, as most people would that particular thing. So the halach is you're allowed to move it away. You're allowed to move it, even though it's muksa, you're allowed to move it away from that area in order to make the area more appealing and usable. And that means even directly. I'm not talking about min hatzad or anything like that. I'm talking about just directly. You're allowed to pick up the bucket and take it out and whatever it may be. So this is a heter. Well, first of all, sometimes it's a heter to move the garbage. And we mentioned that the garbage on Shabbos, garbage which was thrown out before Shabbos, even thrown out in your house, but thrown into a garbage can before Shabbos, when Shabbos, and it's in items which are, common to throw out, not something in perfectly good shape, something that was used. And once you throw it out and then Shabbos begins, it becomes muksa. So your garbage is muksa. So then you really shouldn't be moving the garbage pail on Shabbos. So, but what happens if the garbage piles up? So you bring the garbage there, or what, you in a permissible way, whatever it is, you throw things out there. And now, you have this garbage can sitting in your kitchen and now it's pretty full and looks very unappealing, or maybe has an odor. Graf shel rei could be because of the odor as well. The garbage is starting to give off an unpleasant odor. This is more common when it's 2 days in a row of Kedusha, Shabbos, Yontif together, and or Yontif, 2 days of Yontif. So then there's a heter at that point also to move it, to move the garbage away, if you have somewhere to put it. Now, which means that if it's Shabbos and there's no Erev outside, so you can't take it outside, the heter of graf shel rei is only a heter in the halachas of muksa. You're not restricted by the fact that it's inherently muksa, but you are restricted. You can't do malacha. You can't carry it out into the street or even into a backyard if you don't have a proper Erev. If there's no Erev around the community and you don't have an Erev in your backyard or a proper fence, whatever it is. Another is basically, it has to be a place, you can only move it to a place that you're allowed to carry. And, that you're allowed to do, even though it's otherwise muksa. And the same thing would be on your dining room table. If you have a lot of garbage and it's really not practical to clean it off in any other way, then you're allowed to clean it off directly. You're allowed to take the stuff off. You're supposed to try to avoid it. Graf shel rei is not a solve-all issue. I mean, well, certainly not solve-all, because hopefully these situations are the minority of what you find in your house over Shabbos. But what I mean is, even for it, it's not something that should be treated as okay. It's totally no problem. So, for example, there are poskim that say if there'd be a guy available, it'd be better to ask a guy to move it. Okay, I don't know if that's so practical, unless you have a cleaning help or something. Yeah, then it's very practical if you have a housekeeper. Some even say better to get a katan to do it than a gadol. But Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring down these, you know, these caveats that I mentioned. But there is another concept in Graf Sharei that it says ein osin Graf Sharei lechatchila. You can't intentionally make a Graf Sharei, meaning you can't put things in a place knowing that, oh well, I'm going to need this place. I don't want these nutshells here. So, oh, no problem. We'll just eat it. We'll let everybody just eat on the table, and then we'll just clean it off because it'll be a Graf Sharei. It said no einos and Graf Sharei lechatchila. It developed that way. You put the garbage in your garbage can because that's where you need to put the garbage somewhere. And with time, it began to have a bad odor. But by the way, I'm not saying that every, you know, I'm saying at all that every garbage can becomes a Graf Sharei. It's just, it may. It's like I mentioned, you know, 2 days in a row, for sure, it's more common. Even then, it's not mukhra. But that's, you know, something that develops. It developed, but to sit down and say, if I'm going to get this muksa here, it's going to be stuck. Oh, no problem. It'll be a Graf Sharei. I can move it. No, if you're thinking about it in advance, you're supposed to come up with a better idea of how to deal with it. Okay, that's another example of Graf Sharei is a used a pot which has been emptied from food. Now, let's say you have a chalent pot. And your challenge was very popular, so the pot is completely empty now of any you know edible food, but it's not empty of residue, which just clings to the bottom and to the sides and makes it look pretty unattractive. So, because kolzman is food in the pot, you could move it. Well, this whole discussion is making an assumption that a pot's muksa, which it is. We'll have to get to that. A pot is not muksa machmas gufo. As I've said many times, muksa machmas gufo has to be something that's not a keli. A pot is a keli, but it's a keli that's used for iser, primarily for cooking. So it has a different status of muksa, but we'll get to Hashem. But in any case, but even though the pot, an empty clean pot is muksa, but a pot with food in it, let's say you served only 90% of the chant, and there's still a chant left there, which is worth saving and putting in the refrigerator and save. That's no problem. You're allowed to move the pot as long as it has the food, certainly when it's full, but even when it has, it's not full, but it has food left in it, which is usable, edible food, then the pot is namuksa anyway. But once it's completely empty, and if it would be empty and it, you know, clean, let's say you use the cooking bag or something, or it's the type of food that doesn't leave behind much residue, so then it's muksa, the pot's muksa. So you should, you know, you want to be careful not to leave it lying in a place where you don't want it. Now, there's more options of how to move it anyway, as we'll get to, since it is a keli, it's not machmas gufo, but still, you could, initially, there are times that you won't be able to move it, so you want to keep that in mind. But if it's dirty, it's on your kitchen table, and you're going to be using the kitchen. People use the kitchen, and it's a dirty pot, and it's unattractive where it is. Then you are allowed to move it and put it into the oven or into the sink or whatever it is, just to get it out of the way, so that you can it doesn't disturb your Shabbos. Okay, I just want to mention go back to one the Kuda I mentioned about yesterday about a glass shattering or a ceramic mug, and we mentioned that if it shatters or breaks in a way that the pieces are not usable, little broken pieces which are not usable for anything. They are destined for the garbage, so it's muksa. It's muksa. All the pieces of muksa machas gufo, but you're allowed to clean it up. So you're allowed to take a broom and a dustpan and sweep it up if it's in any place that could theoretically present a hazard to anyone. Now, this is also a form, and you're using the broom as anyway tiltumen, according to the Mishnah Berurah's definition, it's anyway tiltumen at sad, because you're not handling it directly, you're handling it through the broom. It's not worse than pushing the shells with a knife, But even so, first of all, I said not everyone agrees that that's called Tilta Menatzad, but here it would be okay. And second of all, one might argue that, as I said, Tilta Menatzad has to be for Davar HaMutter. And right now, it's questionable how to define. You know, when there's something on the table and I want the space on the table, okay, so that's a Davar HaMutter. It's a Tarech Davar HaMutter to push up the shelves. Here, I don't need the floor. I don't need the space. I'm being metaltalit because of the muxus. You say, well, no, I'm being metaltalit because of my children or whatever, people in my house who might step on it not wearing a proper foot gear or crawl on it if they're young enough. So it's Tarech them, but it's arguable whether that's called Tarech them or not. Just very, very, very briefly for those, you know, there's a famous discussion in Tosfos. If it says you find chametz in your house on Pesach, it wasn't sold to a guy, and you find chametz in your house on Pesach. So if it's Chol HaMoed, you're supposed to take it and burn it right away. But if it's Yom Tov, you can't burn it on Yom Tov. But you don't want to just leave it lying there. It's chametz, and someone might eat it. But it's muksa, So. So it says you kofel of kli, you have to cover with a keli, and it's clear. And there's a Tosis discussing that halacha there that he considers if you would be moving it, or the thing that you're moving is considered litzarech. If you're moving something to cover it, you'd be moving it litzarech davar ha'asur, because you're moving it for the chametz. Now you say, well, I'm not moving it for the chametz. I don't care about the chametz. I want to get rid of the chametz. I'm moving it so that I'm not in violation of anything, that I don't have exposed chametz in my house. But yet Tosis considers that the tzarech davar ha'asur. So arguably the glass on the floor might be, moving with a broom might be tzarech davar ha'asur, which would not be a heter, therefore even a tzad. But since it's a safety issue, you'd be allowed to clean it up and then take it away on a dustpan, still not handling it directly, and empty out into the garbage or another safe place. Okay, we'll pause here, and have a good evening, everybody, and a good chodesh. Kol tov. Bye-bye.
Good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.